Welcome to the Hour of Truth, a topical radio Bible show broadcast by the Fishman Ministry. If you would like to support this ministry and our programs, please go to our website at www.thefishmanministry.org and click the donation button on the site. Thank you for your support.
Good afternoon, everybody. It's another Hour of Truth. I'm Paul Muller. I have Philip Walthall here on my right.
Hello.
And Brad Capshaw on my right. And James Usler is incommunicado or some such thing as that. No internet. So he's taking a break today. So, guys, I see y'all chomping at the bit. Say hello, and then let's get underway.
Hello, everybody. Good morning, evening.
Depends on where you are.
Afternoon.
Yeah, right.
It's afternoon in the East Coast Annex.
Well, praise the Lord. Now, I didn't get to hear some of Ricky's message there, Paul. Did you hear some of it?
Yeah, it was... A brutal truth about much of the church today, where out of Luke 7:36 was where he started, and the truth of the matter is that Jesus was visiting the house of a Pharisee, I believe it was, and the woman started anointing him with washing his feet and all that kind of stuff. And the Pharisee's like, man, if you knew what kind of woman this was, you wouldn't let that happen. And Jesus' response was, you haven't done any of the things that common society does to greet people who come to visit you. And he said, the truth of the matter is, he didn't do that because he considered himself equal. And he was prideful, presumptuous, and he said the state of the church is the same way today. And it's eat up with it. And yet, it's about, again, remembering who you are and remembering where you came from. And knowing who Jesus Christ is.
Amen. Amen. And I remember, it was kind of interesting, talking with Ricky. I kind of mentioned a little bit in the service there about, he goes, man, Phil, if you knew this and knew that. And I said, Ricky, you don't know where I came from. Not Ricky Usler, no. But buddy of mine, but you don't know where I came from. None of these things are shocking to me. This doesn't surprise me. There's people without Jesus.
Yeah,
I was without Jesus. My condition is far worse than all these.
The people without Jesus are not presumptuous and they're not guilty of this.
Well, they can be very presumptuous and all.
They can be.
Right.
But not in that guy's particular problem. But
right. And the point that come across is that we all fall short. We all fall short of the glory of God. We're all sinners. Christ died for us when we were what? Yet sinners.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I remember that's the bottom of the barrel, man. That's when I was crying. I had track marks on my arms, and I'm on his front porch, and he's telling me, preaching to me once again the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I was beat up, torn out. I had so much laden on me. It was not even funny. It wasn't like, oh, now you're accepted, Phil, that you got yourself a job. No, I was jobless, homeless, just came to Paul's house, beat up, torn from the world, and absolutely torn. It wasn't when now I accept you, you got a job now. Now you got a wife and kids, now you're accepted. You got the house with the picket fence. Now that's garbage. That's garbage. But, forgive me, go ahead.
No, you're doing great. I was just thinking, you look at the woman that was washing Jesus' feet, and it seems to me like it's a blessing if you got track marks and, you've been turning tricks or whatever, and you can look at yourself and go, well, I am totally hosed up. And this other fellow, the Pharisee, he looked great, right? He had the picket fence and all that stuff. And the problem with him was he didn't know. He didn't know. My experience, when I was all messed up, hey, I was having a great time until I wasn't, you know, kind of like what you described. But, you know, at least I could look at myself then and go, in AA, they say, I could not manage my own life. You know, I knew I needed help, and I knew where to turn because, you know, at least I had that going for me. The big issue in my world was after, you know, after, because then I looked so right to me, you know, and it's been a long, long, hard road to understand that you can look, in the world's eyes, you can look pretty straight and be just totally, totally off. Pride's a killer, man.
Yeah, what do you mean? But look at the apostles. Look at Paul. I mean, he was going around from city to city. I mean, he was not. I'm sure that he was pretty rough looking, all that traveling and going through the.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it wasn't like he had this great thing established. No, he was about
didn't have some big church behind him.
Right.
Yeah.
Absolutely. But
not much record of his wife. It doesn't look like the family life was going too good.
Right. But what you do see with Jesus and what he did in that situation, which I'm glad Paul, what he did was he also shined a light. What it was is that Jesus shined a light of where that Pharisee was at. And then the place that where he can actually turn from it, if he would. I mean, because those are words of repentance.
And maybe he did.
I mean, and maybe he did. I don't know. It doesn't say one way or another. But still, that's still a light. Jesus still loved that guy in the house by shining a light of where he was at.
Yeah, and that's, you know, here in South Carolina, that's what I was hearing all morning long. I thought, I love what Scott brought out, that verse in Ephesians. You know, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, which is another part of it, but according to his mercy, he saved us. I think that's timely.
What was I looking at? Because I didn't end up mentioning it. But, y'all keep going, I'll find it.
Just talk amongst yourselves.
Yeah.
Yeah, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, you know? And if you're going to do a work of righteousness, it's not because you started this, stopped that, looked so dead, darn good, or whatever. No, I mean, the works of righteousness is faith.
Yeah, you covered it.
Love.
You covered it. But
I covered it?
You read the verse.
Oh, I thought you were saying I did something right.
You did.
Oh, okay, I'm back.
It's part of my Colossians. You can't go wrong. You can't go wrong.
No, Colossians is like Reader's Digest of the whole book.
Buried with him in baptism, wherein ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God who hath raised him from the dead.
It says the faith. Did you notice?
The faith of the operation of God. That's God's faith. That's Jesus' faith. That's the faith that delivers. That is the faith that stays. That is the faith that works.
That's the faith you're looking for when you're laying hands on your sick kid.
That's
and
right.
You realize that you're hosed.
Yeah.
Because you ain't getting it right.
Or your dead kid.
Or your dead kid. We've seen this too.
No.
That's hope.
Amen.
And
see, that's the, we were talking about that free gift this morning. And out, the gifts of God are without repentance. The gift and calling God are without repentance. And that gift of faith, that is something that is given. And see, that's the faith that is given. That's not something we have. It's given to us. And for in order us to grab hold of that, it's you got to lay down what you were talking about earlier. That works of righteousness, that law, that trying to make yourself right, all that. You can't grab a hold of the gift of God because your hands are full of that garbage.
Yeah.
And you got to let that go to be able to grab Him, that faith He gives us. And see, and the thing is, whereof to boast was one of the greatest things, because nothing on our part saved us. I mean, what happened when I was you know, when I was talking about being beat up and Ricky's once again preaching the gospel to me?
At some point you admitted it.
Right. But there was no boasting there. It was something that the Lord had done. He's the one that died on the cross for me. He's the one that died on the cross for me and was resurrected in power through that same operation, His faith. And see, that's what covered me.
that operation work? And what does it deliver later on in the same chapter? Blotting out the handwriting warnings, does the charges get dropped?
Well, and I,
no record.
And
expunged.
If you're walking in faith, no law, nothing to break.
And
right.
And you're talking about that charges are dropped. There is nothing. There was no amount of doctors. There's no amount of medicine. How long did I go to rehab, Paul? For years, wasn't it? I stayed in that thing. It was like my other home was freaking rehab.
Not
your fault. With paid, highly paid doctors, psychologists, whatever you want to call them, and none of them, not a one of them, could fix blotting out those handwritings of ordinance that was against me. It was only by the blood of Jesus that that could be lifted off me and washed away. And I'm telling you, when they were washed away, they were gone. That guilt was gone. It was no more. As far as east is from the west, it was gone. And nothing could wash that away except for the blood of Jesus.
You know how when you've been working out...
That's it.
In South Carolina, it's hot. It's humid. You know you've been working out all day, you know, and you come in the evening and you're sweaty and you're grimy and you finally take that shower. I don't know what it is after you've been sweating like that. You scrub down good with hot water and soap, and there ain't no cleaner than that, you know. And that's what this is like after the conference. I've been working so hard for so long and still covered in my own grime.
Sue says, do you know how they trap monkeys in Africa? They drill a hole in a tree that's just big enough for their hand to squeeze through. Then they hollow out the tree and put nuts or some other kind of food in the hole. The monkey will grab the food and can't get their hand out while it's in a fist. That stuff you got to let go of. They're trapped
right.
Until they let go of it.
That is cool. But that's just like us when we're hanging on to that old garbage, that old nonsense, all the stuff that Jesus died for, that he paid the price for, and for us to be free, but yet we're holding on to it. And we're just caged. We're caged because we won't accept
bondage.
That gift. We won't accept that free gift that liberates us, man. It's a liberating thing. The stuff that binds up, it's like we're hanging on. And why? And it's killing us. We're not free of that.
And the thing that makes it even worse, I mean, you're talking about being caged. In a sense, there ain't no cage. It's our own choice. We're hanging on to this stuff, and it looks so good and so right. And so holy and religious, you know. Oh, my gosh, I've got to do better. I've got to be sorry, this and that. Nah, it's like this blue sky over you, man. You just let it be.
Hey. Amen. If you will just let it be, I like that word, because that's just really the case. I mean, we find ourselves sometimes we think we're going the right directions. We're just fighting against the Lord.
And in the midst of it, you know, I mean, I had an occasion this week. It was just clearly the grace of God. I was heading down a wrong track, and I just went, Lord, I know I'm messed up. I can't fix this. It's like you admitted it. That's what we do. I mean, at some point, if you can just say, Lord, I just don't, I'm not getting it. I don't have the faith. I don't, but you do.
What a relief.
Oh, jeez.
And that's all that matters. And for what purpose? I mean, we can be free. And not only that, for us to go tell somebody else about that. And you were talking about washing out the handwriting ordinances that I was getting. I was blotting those out. And I remember the whiteboard. And, you know, I came in from just screwing up. Ricky says, write out everything you've done wrong on
need a bigger whiteboard.
I need a bigger whiteboard. He goes, hey,
be general. Synopsis is good.
And wrote it down. And he said, you know, wipe that off. And here's the dry erase mark. Wipe it up. Now get up. Let's go do this.
It was a fair error. Come on, Rick. He's Rick says, this was Rick. The story about Africa, come on. It's either Sue or Megan, right? You tricked me. You're just trying to trick me for no reason.
Oh, I got you. I understand what he's referring to. There's a delayed time. So
yeah.
I forget sometimes that's the case. But is the share with others. I don't say praise the Lord when you get that opportunity and blessing to share that with somebody. And yet there's opportunity. I mean, there, as you know, with scripture, as therefore there is opportunity, there's always opportunity to minister the grace of God, either through action, word, or whatever the case may be. But I remember just specifically this past week, and one of the greatest joys that I had to share was telling somebody, saying, hey, you know, this is a fresh start for you. The guy accepted, you know, accepted the Lord.
Every day is a fresh start.
Every day, I said, this is a fresh start. All those things that are against you, they're gone. They're gone. And I told him the story about the whiteboard. We didn't have one at the time. But I told him the story about the whiteboard and said it in the manner. And you can just, the tears of joy, the weight being lifted off of this man was just, it was a great thing. It was just a great
and
thing.
And on the back end of it, you know, Paul, and you hit it, you know, sort of on the way by this morning, but the long-suffering of God, the patience of God. And you have that initial, you know, I admitted it, I know I'm messed up, and the blood's applied, and you are saved. And life is new. But then tomorrow happens. And tomorrow happens. And unfortunately, or maybe it is fortunate because it's to the glory of God, but we don't get it right. And we don't get it right.
Look at it as every day an opportunity. And every day an opportunity to serve the Lord and to be a part of His army. And to see what He has for the day for you. I mean, that's like, that should be an exciting thing.
Well, there should be, and then there's the alarm goes off.
I hear you.
Well, yeah. I was listening to one.
But that's the right perspective, and we can grab a hold of that perspective.
It's right there. I was listening to one of the sisters last week about interactions with a family member, which we all know is one of the hardest things, and she was saying, oh, I didn't get it right. Short version. I didn't get it right. But, you know, God's not only long-suffering with us, His grace and power is so fine and good, He can take even our boo-boos, and maybe what this sister perceived as an error, maybe it's exactly what the Lord needed.
I've had that simplistic truth that, you know, Davey shared a while back, was that, you know, we have this because we so often are disappointed by people. We get this idea that God gets disappointed in us. God knows who we are.
We get disappointed in ourselves.
That may be the case, but He knows who we are.
It says Christ of Christ that He committed Himself to no man because He knew what was in the heart of man.
Right.
Full disclosure: He knew exactly where He was headed.
He's not disappointed because He knows who you are. He knows how you are. He knows your frailties. He knows your tendencies. Hebrews 4, Jesus was tempted in every way, like as we, without sin.
Yeah,
He knows. And what He does is He gets pleased when we're able to respond to Him in faith.
Just believe Him.
Just believe
Him. Just believe
Him. Just believe
Him. And one of the things is God's so awesome that He takes our screw-ups and redeems those. And you've seen times.
There's no downside.
There really isn't. I mean, I remember, what was it that somebody prayed about? He was like, and may the Lord have cover you and that other person I was ministering to. May the Lord give you, cover you and that person that you're ministering to. And I said, amen, praise God, because that's what you trust. What He is able to do and what He has already done. And He's even willing, like you said, that ministering, to cover both of them, He's willing to use that. He can take that screw up, yeah. If it even was one. I don't know.
But maybe it really was.
Yeah, even if it was one, and turn that upside down, and also we learn from it.
Sounds like the deck's stacked and I can't lose.
It's one of those things. And, I mean, the Lord is well able. The Lord is well able. And it's one of those things that it's a praise the Lord. I forgot what direction I was going just now, but praise God.
I was thinking about, you know,
I hate it when it happens.
I do. It was something right there, and it just moved God. Well, praise God.
Paul, you were talking about being tempted and yet without sin. You know, Jesus Christ walked the earth as a man. I mean, He laid His divinity aside. He walked the earth just like us, with a faith given to Him by God, just like us. And He was perfect in that faith, not like us. And now, because of that, when we do that stuff, and you probably know where I'm going, I love that verse about the anchor within the veil. And we have a high priest that can be touched with the feelings of our infirmities because he gets it. He gets it. And even though he didn't actually fall into sin, when all that sin was laid on him at Calvary, he knows by experience. You know, he gets it.
And, you know, it was interesting why as I'm thinking back and I remember the direction I was going. Praise God.
Oh, we're back.
We're back, yeah. But, Paul, I remember you were saying, and he goes, in this world, you said a phrase that was inaccurate on purpose, and you said it, and you said, in this world, I have overcome the world, so you don't have any more tribulation, is what you said. He was like, no, be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. In this world, before that is in this world.
You shall have tribulation.
Shall, not will, maybe. Nope. Maybe. But you know what the good thing is? We have Romans 5, and that's kind of one of the things that I wanted to kind of look on as I was talking about the Lord coming. We got Romans 5 where he says, what did he say? He glories in tribulations. You know, and you look at that because what happens is your faith gets strengthened through
you learn the faithfulness of the Lord.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I don't
that's a better, don't do that better very well. Phrase. And I remember I kind of hear Brad in the background goes, well, that would be nice. But it actually would not be nice. That's kind of like the growing pains of a child.
Tribulation worketh patience, patience experience, experience hope,
and hope maketh not ashamed. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be ashamed.
That's right.
You know, and that's why we're the Lord. And what is I remember David talking about tribulation in some sense where he goes, the Lord allows the enemy to do things or allows things to happen so that what? Our faith gets strengthened in him.
When you
or his faith in us gets strengthened, I should say.
When you realize that's just another attitude you have wrong.
Right.
And because he says, and this is why he glories in tribulation. So what?
I don't
glory in tribulation. Well, the only way for you to grow in the Lord is through that process.
Right. I mean, I don't know about you guys, but I want to meet him in the air at the call.
Absolutely.
The coming together to that perfect man that Ephesians talks about. I mean, but for that to happen, I mean, if we can't believe him or trust him to get us through that situation at work or at home or whatever the case may be here right now.
Okay, let's say you can't. So I'm at work.
Hold on.
Go ahead.
And what comes to happen? What makes you think that you're going to believe him for you to meet him up in the air?
Because he's good. He's going to get you there.
I got you. Yes. But you're fooling yourself. I mean, you really are fooling yourself. If you can't trust him now, what makes you think you're going to trust them then?
But I know I'm deficient, but I trust him because the one end of the bookend here is Paul's God is good.
Right.
And because I'm deficient, I can trust him to bring those tribulations to bear in my life. And it usually starts like this. Brad Capshaw.
It's not his faith, it's Jesus' faith.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen. But that's where we have everyday opportunity to be exciting thing, what the Lord has for that day. And that, you know, even in the situations, not that they're fun. It's not like, oh boy, I'm glad this thing fell apart.
Right.
No, but look, it's an opportunity for that exceedingly abundantly above we can
the
ask.
The Lord's about to reveal himself again.
Yeah, amen. And what that also does is it, that tribulation, as we went through Romans 5, our faith gets strengthened.
By use.
By use. And that's a good thing. I mean, it's just like if you did everything for your child through growing up, I would not. That doesn't work out good for that child when he's old. You haven't done them a favor at all.
That's right. Sometimes you got to let the hammer drop.
Right. And not only that, we were talking about the gifts and the calling of God are without repentance. Who'd he give the power to?
The church.
The church. What does he tell Timothy? To stir up that gift of God that was given
to
him.
Right.
We have that opportunity now. It's not we sit back. It's not we sit back and don't use those things he's given us. No, we got opportunity to use those things he's given us every day that tribulation is actually good for us. For us to stir up that gift of God is good for us.
Amen.
It's actually good for us. It might not be fun all the time. Yeah. I mean, I tell you, we were talking about dealing with people in situations at work. They're not always fun. But it's good. And you see the fruit of it.
And it's not only good for you or the guy having to call a shot. It's good for the person that's getting dealt with.
Amen. Amen.
I just keep thinking about, you know, thinking about the children of Israel. And, yeah, you want to get your faith exercised. And there's the greatest army on the planet bearing down on you and a sea on the other side. Now, yeah, that'd be a great time to have faith or maybe wet yourself, right?
But, I mean, the Lord's good. And we got to remember that we are... We need to remember that He's given us the power. He's given us His faith. Let's use it. Amen? Mm-hmm. See, it's His faith that raises the dead. It's His faith that heals the sick. You know, as you're talking about putting on your child. But we need to practice it. We need to stand up, believe it, and use it.
Well, to believe it and to use it, to have that power, that faith, it is the faith of Christ.
Amen.
And then you get the big but that comes in. But our faith is deficient. We know it. But our lives are deficient. We know it. But we are.
But see, that's what he died for. See, he paid the price for all that. And we got to take that notion, it being our faith and our deficiency. That's what he paid the price. We got to just cast it off. No, I can stand. I can lay my hands on that child. I can minister the gospel. Why? Because of what he has done and because of his faith. Is what I'm relying on, not my own. That's why we can go through that.
And you know, that's not just an act of receiving and operating in that faith. That's an act of humility. It's in the same operation where Jesus says, I only say what the Father's given me to say. I only do what the Father's given me to do.
Or Paul said, I am the chief of sinners, nevertheless.
Yeah. Amen. And as I look around, I mean, it's a praise the Lord. I mean, we have the choice still to believe.
Yeah.
We don't sit back and let, and you know, God doesn't do it. He's like, no, I've given you the faith. I've given you the power. Get up, use it.
Yeah. Gave you this toolbox, kid.
Yeah, use it. There it is. I gave you the sword. Go use it. Go slay the giants, man.
But I always end up coming back to the same thing. Well, not always, okay? Not always. But I know. I mean, Lord help me, Jesus, I know what I am. But in with that, he knew what I am, too. Yeah. Not what I was.
But that's why you can stand in that. Do you understand? That's why you can stand in that power. That's why you can stand in the armor. It's because of him. You know, not any of that other stuff. Not because your faith is great or that you are not deficient or that you are deficient. Your faith is not anything. No, it's because his was. That's how you can stand. That's how you can stand.
I tell you, it's a joy to see he's finally let go of some of that stuff and the operation of the gospel working in his life. He used to be struggling to say the right things before. Now he knows the right things and he's speaking the Lord's words.
Amen.
And it's the operation has started to take place in him.
Amen.
And
that's he gets
he got a hold of it.
I mean, what I mean by that, Jesus gets the good Lord.
And I was kind of mull things over it. There, I've heard the phrase, stay in the boat. So we're all in a boat together, heading for the promised land, and you have issues, maybe long-standing hurtful issues, not just hurtful to myself, but people around me. But if you stay connected to the body, I mean, much as you can, like hanging on with your fingernails, whatever, then the Lord can bring you through everything. I know it's true.
Amen.
Like Ricky said, you've had a tremendous amount of grace extended to you. And at some level, I know it, but I probably don't really know it.
Well, and that's the other thing. I mean, as we come closer to the Lord, we start to realize, I mean, the closer you get to the Lord, what I start to realize is the manifold amount of grace that's been extended to me where I didn't even realize His grace was on me. Remember where Steve was talking about being Super Steve?
Yeah.
And all these things, and he had no idea. He had no idea until the Lord showed him one day, and he was like, oh my gosh, like,
yeah,
I was all out of pride. But was the grace, where sin aboundeth, what?
Grace abound.
More abound. And that's where you're talking about, where you might not even realize the grace of God that has been extended. to you, or to me, or to Paulie, or any of those things. But you see, and I kind of want to kind of go back to standing in Him and how He's given us that power, and for us to just choose to walk in. And He's given us the faith. He's given us the power. And you see that operation happening. Now, I don't know about you. I'm back here in South Carolina. And to watch Paul, he's got this little shower head. And just little miracles that I see as it's coming. He's got this shower head that I expected to get to install and all these things. But what happened was actually Paul installed these things. I'm thinking, praise God.
Really?
Praise God. Amen. I mean, that's a great thing. And that's in a condition he was not too long ago. I mean, it's the glory, Abe, praise God. But Paul had to choose to stand up in what the Lord's given him. He had to choose. He could have very much chose not to, and he'd be in a different place. But he chose to stand.
Well, as long as we're talking about you with you sitting here, you know, I'm sitting there in Texas, and let's see, how can I, we're on the internet. You got your tushy blistered publicly. Does that work? You got pretty well corrected in front of people you hold dear. Oh, never a great thing, you know, to the flesh. But I've been listening to you. You thought I didn't, but I've been listening to you, and I hear what I used to hear, and I see you coming back around, feeling better, and man, it's a great joy.
I mean, it's a praise the Lord, and it's about coming under obedience and submission unto Him in humility. And see, that's how we access that which He's given us already.
Yeah, to the humble He giveth more grace.
Absolutely. And what you see going on, and what, quite frankly, I see a miracle, is us meeting together, getting on the same, all three of us getting together, getting on track with what the Lord has.
It hadn't been that long ago. That was way, way not going to happen.
What the Lord has, and just dealing with some of these things in the property. I mean, Paul is proactive of some of the layouts he wants. You're proactive in getting some of these things dealt with. I've been proactive, and we've been of what? One mind.
We've gotten
together, and I just, man, that's a miracle itself. I look at that and say, praise God.
It's pleasant.
Oh, it's been
awesome.
Because
before, you know, if you came over and said, you know, I need you to go do this stupid thing I hadn't really thought through very well, I might have said, yeah, whatever, sure, I'll do. And I would. Oh, I would. But this ain't like that. It's pleasant.
Amen.
How good and pleasant it is when brethren dwell together in unity. Unity of the faith, you know. It's a joy.
It is.
I was talking to, I got Daniel Evans coming in. He's a young co-op that helped me build my porch. Just whole family loves him to death, including the dogs. He's coming in to see me. And I was just telling him, you know, it's just been awesome. It's just been really awesome around here lately. And I know that we will end up in Texas. I was never given a time frame. I don't know a time frame. But I'm very content. I'm content to be here. I'm content to be there.
I think there was a time, Brad, where I was like, when you go into Texas, I'd be like, oh, when?
That could happen. Yeah. That could happen. Do you
and
need
now
some
I'm at,
money?
It's actually, I'm at a place where you go to Texas, no, please, not now. Not right now. Please, let me know. No, if that's what the Lord wants, but I would have you, I would love to have you here.
And not to get all maudlin, but I mean, coming from you, that means something to me.
But look, and not to puff you up, but look, I mean, it's one of those things you're talking about where Daniel's is coming around. If we want to go, remember what Davey said, where the most that the power of God was manifested is when what? Everybody had was of one accord.
One accord, yep.
Of one mind.
Yep.
They had the same
Absolutely.
Mind. And what we need to strive to do as a body in each one of us work out our own salvation with fear and trembling and come on board with His plan. Not our own, but His plan. And what you'll see is that you'll see His power and His faith move mightily and reach out to others that would hear the truth.
Or check
that
this.
Would hear the truth.
Alright, because I'm listening to Phil talk about my mind just goes to the mechanical, the stuff I can touch. You know, the electrical and yada yada. But as a body, when you're preaching, Paul, I'm really, and Phil, Scott, whoever's up there, I'm really trying to discipline myself to pray along with you. If I don't know what to pray, I'm praying in tongues. Because this morning was awesome, wasn't it? We had some, not new faces, we had some folks that, you know, come through once in a while. and I want that gospel to go out. And I was looking at, you know, fellows that are there that I don't know well, and I think, I don't know what this guy's got going on. But I think part of that one mind, one accord is the literal, in the spirit, in tongues, in prayer. You know, Lord, please touch these people.
And that in one mind and one spirit, it's just that we all have the same mind of Christ, and we all make up part of the body at some point. And whatever we do, we're going forward in Him. It could be just projects that we're talking about. It's a practice of coming together, of being one core for what? His purpose. To do His will. It's just about getting on board. Loving God, loving one another, going forward as His army, as His body. Going to what? Preaching the gospel. That's the whole point.
Preach the gospel.
But preach the gospel. Not the signs following. Those just follow. But preach the gospel. That's what He did. Isn't that what Jesus did? He went and preached life unto the world.
When you preach the gospel,
that's what we're here
you
for.
Don't preach the gospel to have the signs follow. The signs will follow where the gospel is being preached and people
that's
have
right.
received it.
It's very simple. You just go preach the gospel. You don't worry about the rest. That's what's going to happen.
Yes.
That's just going to happen.
He's just telling you what happens.
Yeah. When you preach the gospel. And it's to confirm Him and for Him to get the glory and so others can partake of His life.
Yep.
Just as we are.
You got to see about Linda Hanger, man. She comes through that flood. Oh, my gosh, what a mess. And, you know, frustrations and all that come with that. And now I'm looking at, I see a very nice car over there that I understand she got, you know, exactly what she wanted at a good deal.
I think it was the perfect car, quite frankly.
Yeah.
The perfect car. And that's part of one of those exceedingly abundantly we can ask or think that came about. Because, I mean, that's the perfect car for it.
Honda, you can't beat that.
Honda CRV, timing chain, low maintenance. All you got to do is those things, change the oil, and if something breaks, fix it.
I'm hearing about contractors helping her out.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know? And that the body helps. The body should step up. But ultimately, it's a hand of God. And in this case, and very, very clear in her instance, very clear, this is not me and you or they're swinging a hammer.
No.
Because obviously, I mean, that's not short of taking a week or two off. That ain't happening.
Right.
Now, this is other people. It's the hand of God stepping in.
It's the power of God moving mightily, and it's evident.
And it's encouraging.
Yeah, I mean, I talked to, what was it? I talked to, you know, when I ministered the gospel to somebody this week, what happened the next day was the impossible happened. I mean, like, a ticket got dropped. He was able to go do some other things. I don't want to go in detail about his business. He was able to go to do some things that wasn't supposed to happen for him at all. But it did happen. And see, that's a praise the Lord.
And he goes,
and he texted me and goes, I know this is not coincidence. This is the hand of God that happened. But it was the very next day. And so who gets glorified? He does.
The Lord.
And that's, you know, that's who saves is Jesus.
Yeah.
It's not you, Brad. It's not you, Paul. It's not me. It's not David. No, it's Jesus. Now, he uses that line of authority. Amen. But that's just to draw us closer to who?
Jesus.
And to know Him and His way better. That's all it is. That's how the Lord set it up. And we're all part of one another. We're all part of His body, ministering to one another.
I see the wheel spinning, Paul.
I was just thinking, you know, myself, you know, when it comes to initially receiving and doing business with the Lord, the Lord's not a respecter of persons. But when it comes to knowing Him, it's about who you know. You need to know Jesus. And the whole thing is an educational process. The more you know, the more complete you are, the more able you are to act, to work, and operate in His faith, and operate as He walked. And that's what we're called to do.
Amen. And it's a personal relationship.
Absolutely.
And not well, I knew Davey that had it. No.
That didn't help.
Enter in thy good and faithful servant. I know you, Philip.
Yeah.
I know you, Paul. I know. I don't want I never knew you.
Yeah.
I don't want that.
Yeah.
It's a personal relationship. Those can't say. Remember we were talking in the Bible study earlier This week, some of the guys, we were talking about the virgins with the oil.
Yeah. Yeah. Uh-huh.
And one of the things that Angie wrote in was the fact of, I don't know if it was Angie, I'm going to mess up the phrase, but in the sense of they were trying to, or something that Davey said along the lines of the ones that did not bring the enough oil.
Oh, yeah.
Was the ones that were trying to hang on to somebody else's faith to do it. And they said, hey, give us some of that. No, go down and get your own. Because, see, that's where we need to know Jesus.
They couldn't,
we need to know somebody else.
They couldn't get it from the ones to get who he asked to give it to them. They couldn't buy it.
Right.
Couldn't buy it.
Yep. That was the other point. But that point, and I've said a couple times, and I know I've been in the air, so I'm talking about strengthening my faith, and it's really how it really should be in the sense of that it strengthens the faith of Christ that is in you. His faith gets strengthened in us. Not that his faith is flawed, but you partake of his faith more.
You ever feel like a surfer riding a wave? I mean, it's not your... You know what I'm saying? Like a surfer is massive power. Like he's look at these pictures out of Hawaii or something. They're on this wave of massive power. But really all they're doing, if you watch them, they're keeping themselves in a spot within this wave that's going on all around them. Somehow that just connects with me. It's like, it's the faith of Christ. It's like, that's that wave. And I'm like a free rider on it, you know?
Yeah, and I know Davey talks about the law of lift. You know, and in that same sense, that's what I'm kind of getting out of the law of lift. When you rise above the situation, you know, he was talking about the eagle. He faces the storms. Yeah. He locks his wings. He flies above the storm. And see, when you have the faith of Jesus, that's how you operate above the situation, above the storm.
Yeah, but like that eagle, he's not. I mean, I guess he knows how to curl his wings to maintain lift. But he's not really like working really hard to get above it, I don't think. He's more or less riding this thing. He's using the power coming against him almost as a means to escape it. Sorry, I went aeronautical on you there.
No, that's a free ride into the wind.
It's a free ride. There you go.
And the part is that's where you enter into his rest. I mean, he just locks his wings and goes. I was talking with Steve. I said, you know, it's interesting, Steve. There's a lot of things been going on that I've been dealing with. But on a different level than I have ever dealt with them on, but it's been a lot easier. Like it hasn't been hard at all. And he goes, yeah, because you're operating, what does he say? Because you're entering into his rest. So you're ceasing from your own works. See, when I was trying to do it with my own works and trying to do it with my own strength and trying to battle through that storm with my own, you know, flapping my wings, dang, it's not going to work.
Did you tell him about the pond? I don't know how much y'all see each other through the week. Did you tell him about the pond we were talking about? Peace? A couple of days ago, I came over and talked to you.
I don't remember whether I did or not.
Well, work can be like really tough. Really tough. And one of the worst things that happens is containments. Anyway, so I'm riding into work and I go by this pond over there, like you get up toward Dorchester, and it's still water. And this,
Yeah, the industrial place.
Yeah, the industrial part. But it's not an industrial pond. It's beautiful.
All right.
So I'm riding by this pond, and I look at it, and it's perfectly still. And I started praying. I think maybe I already was praying, but I said, Lord, I'm going into I don't know what I'm going into, because work can be really chaotic. And I said, I don't know what I'm going into. I know you're walking into it with me, but I need that peace, you know. I need that peace. And then, like Charlie's always telling me, you know, pray in the spirit, pray in tongues. Yes, sir. So I start doing that, you know, and the verse came to mind, I will keep him in perfect peace, his mind stayed upon me. So I keep my mind stayed on the Lord. David told me, you start feeling stressed, you know, worship the Lord. Now within myself, I think maybe he don't like that. But that's not true, because the Word says he likes that. Yes, sir. So I'm doing all that stuff. And when I got to work, I was in pretty good shape. But then I was at work, and it went kind of the way work can go sometimes. And I had, you know, like better success. But I was talking to Paul, you know, and I think the next day, and I mean, the challenge is to keep that peace you're talking about, not going into it, but in the middle of it. And I don't have that worked out.
and you just believe him. Well, it's kind of, I know what you mean by going into work, and I mean, or even any certain situations
for me it's work.
Where it's like, no, I mean, where it's just the weight of it is just there.
Heavy.
The fear of it is this there. The overwhelmingness of it is there. And there's just all kinds of things. And sometimes I know I've got a big mess in front of me. And it could not just be with work, but it could be around here or home, dealing with other people.
Right.
It could be whatever the case may be. And it's like, man, it's that praying that, you know, you're diligent, you're praying, you're seeking him. And it's like, nothing clears up. I mean, I've still got this anxiety. I'm fighting. But as soon as I step into work, and I'm praying, and I'm rebuking the fear, and you know, praising the Lord, and I know exactly what you're praying in tongues, and you're just good. But and I've got this commotion inside me. I mean, it's just like a big ball of just tumbleweed working.
Yeah.
It's crazy. But it's like as soon as I step. Doing that, humbling myself, and as soon as I step, it's like gone. I mean, it's like as soon as I step to work, it is gone.
So you're,
and what? It's at that point where I actually chose to believe. I actually chose to believe His word. I chose to believe in His gospel. I chose to believe in His faith, and see all those things are just wiped away. And it's like Steve was telling, remember he would say, I remember one revival he's talking about, so it's like him digging a ditch and he needs to be over there. I forget how he put it. He needs to be over there and he's way over here. He's digging, and what he doesn't realize is the Lord liked him digging and fighting against that unbelief, and he became way far past that mark where he needed to be, and he didn't even realize. He's just digging. But I messed like that up. But that's the story that came to my mind.
Like in the course of, the analogy is digging a ditch, saying the process of digging through this is strengthening what needs to be strengthened.
Right. It's just like we glory in tribulation, because that tribulation, we get strengthened.
Are you saying like him? On the way to work, you mean like your guts are in a knot sometimes?
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, okay. But that, I'm not saying that's all right. I mean, maybe your gut shouldn't be in a knot. I think.
Maybe not. I know is.
Let me tell you what. My gut knot's worse than yours. I'm looking for a rope here, man.
Well, what I guess there is that. On that way, I am fighting like heck.
Yeah, push.
Okay, I am fighting like heck against the unbelief. I'm fighting like heck against the unbelief, the fear, everything that's trying to keep me from grabbing hold of Jesus' victory. I am fighting against that with a vengeance. Okay, I'm not trying to let it give it place. I don't like it, but I believe that there's a strengthening that comes out of it.
Do you do that, Paul? I mean, with you, it's not so much work around here, health stuff.
You know, the biggest struggle that I have, probably the big struggle he has, is against unbelief and fear.
Oh, man, I know that's true for me.
But I think it's just like when you work
and
out.
Those are gut wrenchers. There's no two ways about it.
Yeah.
Until you overcome it, it's in each case, in each attack. It'll tighten. It'll put you in knots, man.
And I'm not saying those things are good things.
No, not justify it.
No, that's not what I'm getting at. But what happens, the cause of those things coming against us, what do we learn to do? We learn to fight in the Spirit. Okay, which is a good thing. So that can be used once again for your good and His glory.
Yes.
Just like the tribulation.
You invoke Ephesians 6.
Help me out.
Putting on the whole armor of
God. Yeah.
And that is a good thing. Learning to fight in the Spirit is a good thing. It's just like you work out. That hurts, man.
Burn.
Oh, it burns.
The burn.
It's the same. You fight against that unbelief, man. You don't give it a second. I tell you, man, it could be on me. I mean, it could be wanting to consume me. And if I give it just a little bit,
it does.
It will. And I got to shake that off, man. I got to shake that. I got to drill it out, man.
Well, we're talking about tribulation, working patience, and on. And I see good things happen. And I know we've taught some of my road seems to be quite parallel to what I've heard from you over the last several years, you know. And I don't resent it. I want to get better at it, you know. And you guys are helping me along the way.
Praise the Lord. I think the Lord really has helped us all out along the way and has used his body, his ministers, to help us along the way. Even the struggles, Brad. We learned to love one another. We learned to become long-suffering. And we got practice with one another because me and you are both jerks. And we were living together. It was a rough thing. But see, we got that. We're not rock tumbler. We're polishing ourselves
That's
up.
Right.
It doesn't feel good.
Coming off.
Don't feel good, but it's absolutely
pretty
a
nice
good
now.
Thing. Oh, absolutely.
You know about the body working together. I got up there this morning and I got it for Paul. I love Colossians. I really do, but that you know, the faith of the operation of God, not just, you know, like Davey says, pay attention to the small words. And I didn't say it because it sounded kind of arrogant, but what I was thinking was, you know, I have a revelation from God I want to share with you. I have a revelation from God, but that would sound like he came down and tapped me on the shoulder, which would be awesome. But I did have a revelation from God because I went to somebody placed here for my benefit, for the perfecting of the saints, which praise God, I am one of the saints, who gave me this revelation. And then I hope I got it right, because you know I wanted to commit that to faithful men, my brothers and sisters in the body. And I was tickled pink. It was awesome. But it's hard to get something across because something can hit you so strong, or hit me so strong. And you want to share it with somebody, and you wanted to hit them like that, like mean that much to them. I don't know. Maybe I'm just rambling, man. It was awesome.
Sound like you might have got excited.
Which is a good thing.
That's a good thing.
Finding out good news about the Lord and learning about Him, that's a great thing. I mean, that's something to get excited about.
Absolutely.
Getting something excited about, for sure.
It's like getting a mesquite thorn out of your thumb after about a week and a half packed in an onion poultice.
Ah!
I drove in, one time I drove into the ranch, and within 3 hours I had 4 flat tires.
Bless you, my brother. Regrettably, I'm handicapped and not well able to change a flat tire, should it come up in the future.
4 flat tires. Oh, that was a sweet morning.
Oh, man. You had some wheels.
I can regale you with some wonderful experiences taking John 6 hours to the hospital. Coming back. I don't know, it was like 10:30 at night, 15 degrees out there, and it's snowing. And my tires go flat about 200 yards from the ranch. I mean, I'm riding on the tire cord.
Yeah, because I know you're not stopping. I can just see this picture. It's cold outside, dude. 15 degrees. You all 4 were flat,
and I'd been in town since, you know, like 8:30 in the morning.
Just done.
Yeah, it was fun.
But I tell you what, when that thing came out, after that last conference, I've been carrying that thing for days, and when it came out, oh man,
what a relief!
So I about went Pentecostal. Yes. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And that's the thing, man. You can carry some bad, bad stuff for a very long time and irritate people. And you notice I'm not using any four-letter words because I'm on the radio. But you can be a real thorn to the people you should be loving the most. And around here, I've seen it. And I'll love you right back. And it can take a while. And I'd say, and I don't know who's out there, but if you got
sometimes just things are exposed with one another. I mean, the thing is yeah, I mean, one of the things that can happen, though, they can love you right back, or they can get off. But if they get off, you know what? It's one of those things where the issues can get dealt with.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's something you can get free of. It just exposes what's in your heart. If I have a bad reaction, it exposes what's in my heart and exposes things within myself that I need to get shed of and right with the Lord. And it's not a bad thing. That's the part of that rock tumbler thing.
But it can sure look bad in the moment.
Oh, yeah. It looked pretty freaking ugly sometimes.
And it's kind of like you get, you know, something under your skin. At some point, it's got to drain.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's pretty nasty, but it's got to happen.
When you're congested and that you apply that expectorant, man, and that stuff's coming up, it sounds nasty. That coughing, that hard coughing, you can hear the phlegm coming out of somebody's lungs. And it's nasty looking. It's just, and it's
but
the
it's
infection breaking up and coming out. And that's a good thing. It looks ugly when it happens, but it's actually the process that is cleans you out.
Yeah, the Lord can handle anything. The only thing that really messes the Lord up with us, I think, is pride, from what I've been told. Pride.
Yeah.
Sin and the garbage, we clean that out.
Well, it's time to wrap up, everybody.
Yeah, it's getting to be that time. It's been fun. I thank y'all for joining us. Texas is up next at the top of the hour. We're going to get out of here, and we hope you have a great week. And may the Lord bless you.
You are listening to the Eagle Radio Network. Our programming is listener-driven. If you'd like to help support the Eagle Radio Network to be able to continue providing programming, please click the donate button located on our site at www.eagle-radio.com. Thank you for your support.